This is World Cricket Weekly Talk, presented by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement. Nigel Reid alongside Faraz Sarawat. We're going to go south of the border because we were looking very closely recently, Faraz, at the World T20 qualifiers. A lot of teams involved. In the end, the cream rose to the top. Not good enough for Canada, but Afghanistan and Ireland are off. But there were a lot of teams that were left by the wayside of the highway, I suppose you could say. And I guess the US were one of those.
Yeah, that's right. The US coming back to this level of cricket after some time in the wilderness. And as we say about Canada, lots of potential, lots of people playing cricket. But in Canada, we have the same issue of a bit of fracturing of the cricket populace, so to speak. And I think it's more so in the United States. So let's it would be good to get some perspective
on that.
Well,
let's find out exactly how fractured it might be. Peter Della Penna joins us from New Jersey, a US-based cricket journalist. Peter, good of you to take the time to join us. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nigel, and thank you for having me on.
So tell us about the US perspective. I mean, Canada got close-ish to qualifying for the World T20s. Didn't happen, but the US was somewhat further down the pecking order as far as the final ladder was concerned. Is this a depressing time to be following the U.S. national team?
There's a lot of words you can throw in there to describe the state of mind right now, but I think frustration is the one that really pops up front and center. If you look at the way the team performed, just at the results, they started off the tournament 0-4, but then they finished off the group stage by beating Scotland, one of the six ODI nations in the tournament. So it's kind of a bittersweet moment when something like that happens, because it shows you the talent level that exists in the country and the possibilities that are there for the U.S., but they just aren't able to put it together on a consistent basis.
Any particular reason why not? As you say, they pulled out a decent performance against the Scots, but for the majority of the tournament, Peter, they were pretty anonymous.
I think a big part of it has to do with lack of support from the administration and just getting proper preparation ahead of some of these tournaments. If you go back to 2010, before the World 2020 qualifiers in Dubai in February of that year, the U.S. team had not played a match together for 14 months. They went 14 months without playing together heading into that tournament. They played two warm-up matches against the UAE before heading into a group stage against Scotland, Afghanistan, and Ireland. They beat Scotland in the first game and then lost the next two games. Here again, you have the America's qualifier, which was in July. They finished second to Canada. And then in those 7 or 8 months ahead of this qualifier, they did basically nothing. They sent a B squad to the Etihad Summer Cricket Festival in Toronto in August to play against Afghanistan, Canada, and Trinidad and Tobago. Of that 14-man group, only two players from that team went to the UAE for this qualifier. So basically, for the core members of this team, they had no preparation going into this tournament. They played three warm-up matches when they got to Sharjah ahead of the first match against Uganda. But if you go 7 or 8 months in between matches, you're asking for trouble. If you compare that to Canada, at least Canada, they're playing in the I Cup. They have the World Cricket League Championship. They went to the Caribbean T20 in January. They were at least getting some opportunities to gel, try out some different combinations, put players in roles that they could become familiar with and really prepare themselves for what they could expect in the UAE, and the US just doesn't do that.
So, Peter, is this a lack of money, a lack of direction, or frankly, a lack of interest in what the US national team is trying to do?
On the first two points, definitely there seems to be kind of this tendency to do things at the last minute, just kind of sit on your hands and then hope somebody can wave a magic wand and things will magically happen. And it just doesn't work that way. But also in terms of funding and interest and support and getting people to rally around U.S. cricket, there's always been an uphill battle in that regard. You don't have sponsorship support like you have in other countries, say Ireland, Canada, or Afghanistan, and even some of the other second-tier nations like Nepal. Nepal has sponsorship support. If Nepal can get Pepsi to sponsor them, Pepsi's a U.S. multinational company. Why can't USA get sponsors for their cricket? It's kind of unfortunate. There's this myth out there that American companies aren't interested in supporting cricket. That's not true. Most of the major ICC sponsors and sponsors for other international teams are U.S. corporations that are multinational, but they're interested in supporting major international cricket. Those companies aren't interested in sponsoring U.S. cricket, and that's the major hurdle that has to be overcome in order for more funding to come in and more support and better programs to be established to put U.S. cricket on the right path.
Very, very interesting. You know, corporate America is sponsoring every other team, but it's not looking in its own backyard.
Well, we kind of have a bit of that problem, too, where you can watch a cricket match happening in the West Indies and see Scotiabank, you know, prominently displayed there. So I guess that's the part and parcel of a nascent kind of, you know, cricketing team. Peter, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the team selection for the United States. You know, how wide is the net kind of cast when looking at players across the country? And also, if you could maybe talk a little bit about the impact of what happened with Steve Mesiah not being part of the team. I mean, he was the, I guess, best-known U.S. player, and his absence certainly would make a difference.
On the first point, one of the peculiar things about U.S. cricket is that you have people across the country who their biggest priority is to get support for players from their region. So instead of having this argument or this discussion about let's find the best 14 players in the country, wherever they are, you get people saying, we want the best four from California, or we want the best three from New York, or we want the best three from Florida, or we want the best three from Chicago, instead of just picking the best 14 wherever they're from. On the Steve Mesiah point, I disagree a little bit. I think in the matches where Steve played in 2020 cricket for the U.S. in the last 2 years, he always struggled. Was not a very good performer in T20. So I think coming back, heading into Division 4 of the World Cricket League later this year, I think having Steve come back into the team for that will be a very big thing. I think he'll be definitely a big boost to the middle order for that. But I had written an article even before his legal mess came about that I felt that if the team went in a different direction for 2020 cricket and let Steve focus on getting back into form for 50 overs, I don't think it would be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think looking at it kind of from the perspective, if we look at Canada too, where we have, you know, maybe one or two players, and even though they may be out of form or not performing, we kind of think, well, at least they have the experience of playing. And I was looking at it from that perspective maybe a little bit. Do you think that regardless of how he's performed in 2020 cricket, the fact that he actually does have experience in a U.S. shirt, does that make a difference to the team, and, you know, how maybe some of the team respond to having a player with some experience in the 11?
Could have made a little bit of difference, but overall, I think just across the board, a lot of the players struggled, whether they were experienced players or the younger brigade who got their chances in this tournament. I mean, the biggest problem for the U.S. in this tournament was the number three position, and up at number three, you had several players getting opportunities. You had Sushilnet Karney, who was the captain of the team. You had Aditya Mishra, who was the vice captain. You had Naaman Mustafa, who was the oldest player on the team, making his debut, but he's got a tremendous amount of experience in domestic cricket in the U.S. And that number three position in the group stage for USA averaged 6.29, which is unacceptable, and that was a major reason why the team overall really struggled in the group stage and throughout the tournament.
Peter, I'd like to give you a magic wand so as you could fix the problem overnight, but we know that's not going to happen, but we value your opinion. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you, Faraz. It's a pleasure.
That's Peter De La Pena, US-based cricket journalist, joining us on World Cricket Weekly from New Jersey. You're in tune with World Cricket Weekly Talk, brought to you by Teachers Blended Scotch Whisky, the spirit of achievement.